transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the word. You and I both know there are way too many so-called Christians who aren't living at all. And I'd like to think, and I hope, that when you see them, you're like, I wish they would just be quiet. They say that the empty wagon makes the loudest noise. Big winds come from empty caves. The Christian that has the least, if they even are a Christian, are making the loudest noise, and they need to be the quietest. Let your light so shine before men, not your words. Why don't we just shut up and let our lives do the talking? That's what brought Alfred Fellow Horton Jr. The Lord know how to get you. He just came back to pay a favor. Am I right? Am I telling that part right? Just to pay a favor. You know, he helped me out with my dad, and I appreciate it. And I'm just wired to pay back. Yeah, but the Lord had the big payback. The Lord is the original James Brown. The big payback. And out of all the subjects in the world that the Word of God covers, we're talking about a transformed life when he came through the door. Boy, when the Lord brings you in on that, you're going to be all right. If that gets you excited. Now, I may be embellishing it, but the way I think I remember this, when he came up to greet me, he was like, I knew I was right. I knew it. Not even, how you doing? How's it going, Pastor? I appreciate the word. Just, I knew I was right. I mean, that's how fired up he was. You know what? Does that fire still burn in your belly concerning the word of God? Is your heart still burning within you when the word of God is discussed? It's like the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Is it like fire shut up in your bones like Jeremiah? Or are we smoldering wicks that are soon to just flame out? Lord God, help us to locate. This is a location Sunday right now. This is a location. The Lord wants us to look at our lives and determine whether or not we're going to walk with the Lord like we're supposed to. It's time out for playing games. It's time out for it. Remember when I got saved, I got on my knees. I said, I'm through playing games with you, Father God. I'm through playing games. From now on, it's your way. From now on, it's going to be your way. Hallelujah. Not an empty confession, but a profession brought about by the possession of the Holy Ghost. Bringing about a true transformation. Yes, I want transformation to ring all up in your spirit. I want you to go to bed, wake up here in transformation. Mm-hmm. And asking yourself, is my life showing the transforming work of the Holy Ghost? Mm-hmm. Sister, the Lord, through Sister Rolanda, asked us, are you still sinning the same old sins and really not even being convicted by it? Thinking the same old thoughts, no conviction, I tell you what, you might be in trouble. Now, I won't say with gavel dropping certainty you hell bound and not saved, but I would say there's a real possibility because the Holy Spirit does convict of sin. It says that in John 16, I think it is, 15, somewhere in there. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin. Second Corinthians 2 speaks about all of us having the law written in our hearts, and our conscience either accuses or excuses. If your conscience ain't doing none of that, I question your salvation, and our salvation needs to be questioned. We need to not get comfortable. We need to not be comfortable. Oh, I know I'm saved. It's good to know, you should know, but it doesn't hurt to show a little humility. Just kind of check things for a moment. Are your desires to please him? Is that your number one desire? to please him. That's when you'll know. Even thinking, wow, am I truly saved? That's good too. Amen. The word of God says, make your calling and election what? Sure. Absolutely sure. Amen. You can know. You can know. 1 John 5:13, that these things are written that you might, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life as a present possession. But we want to continue to examine ourselves. Let a man examine himself. There are way too many so-called Christians who are not Christians at all. And they'll tell you with every bit of their fiber and every bit of fiber in their being that I am a Christian. Then you ask the reason why. They go back to something they did, some act they committed. Rather than saying, you know what? No goodness of my own. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Yes. I once was blind. I didn't understand nothing concerning God. Now I see. I want to understand a lot more. There it is. And my desires have changed. You have reordered a disordered state of desires. Remember when sin hit, and I'll get into the lesson in a moment. Sin hit, our desires were disordered. And we wanted the things that did not please God because we didn't know God in our sin. Yeah. We only wanted things that pleased us. And we'll go after those things, even at the expense of everybody else, trying to make ourselves happy, which at best is going to last only for a moment. Mm-hmm. Happiness is transient, meaning just for a moment. Happiness is like a vapor. It's there for a moment, then it fades. The world is pursuing happiness, as I've told you, the most futile, empty, vain, and worthless pursuit in the history of all mankind. Because you get it, it's like trying to hold on to smoke. Mm-hmm. Just there for a moment. And you spent all of this, did all of this just to get that. You know, just tow up people in your wake, trying to get for a few moments of happiness. That's the world. Mm-hmm. We're no longer there. He saved us. He brought us out. Our hope is not founded on happenings that bring us a momentary happiness. There are people, hope is founded. Their hope. Listen to the cost of sin. You're hoping in that which can never bring you hope. It's a lie. It's saying, put your hope in me. Put your trust in me. Then it disappoints every single time. That's why the word of God uses that we have a hope that does not disappoint. Because all the other hope disappoints. Disappoints. And one of the greatest commentary on concerning this society in all societies ever existed is Jesus' statement, factual statement on the deceitfulness of riches. Mm-hmm. And attached to that is fame. So you can put them both in there, and I don't think that's not adding to the word of God. I believe that fits. The deceitfulness, because they both promise you happiness, peace. You're going to love being adored. And they lie to you. And you're worse off than when before you ever, then you wish I never would have known anybody up in here. And before, I wish I was happy as a mechanic. John D. Rockefeller, I'm the poorest man in the world. All I have is money. Mm-hmm. Anthony Bourdain, Spade, and many, many, many others. We are so blessed to truly be saved. Yes. And it's a shame. Isn't it a shame that even salvation is not fully attributed to God? That's the trick of the enemy in the churches. Because the devil said, well, if I can't beat them, I'll join them. I can't stop them talking about salvation. I can't stop you from churches being in existence. So I'll just go in and pervert the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though they're reading, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yet and still, there's a work in there. It's so shrouded that they don't realize that he slipped up in there. Because when you believe, when it's all up to your belief, then you're the sovereign savior of your own self. Because when the gospel is presented, then you must believe the gospel. And in your believing, then you are saved. Well, that's all up to you and not up to God. God is helpless. There are many in theology. God looks through the quarter of time and only picks those who choose the gospel when the gospel is presented. That's all on you. That's the reason why we're not saved. Hey, well, you know, I believed. And they didn't. Does that make you better than them? Well, I wouldn't say that. Yeah, but if you keep questioning, that's exactly what you're saying. Because you accepted it and they didn't. No, no, no. No goodness of our own. None does right. No one is good. No one is righteous. Not even one. He saved us. Our spirits were dead, 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 dead. He quickened us. He rose us from the dead spiritually. And for that, we're forever grateful. And that's why we don't really give our Father the glory, the honor, and the praise that he deserves, is because we feel we had a hand in it. Father, help us. Thank you for your patience with us. Continuing our series, Why Are People So Crazy? First, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Why are people so crazy? 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's the world we live in. Close to 8 billion people on the planet. Several billion people fit this. Several billion. We live in a very disturbed world. I still marvel at how we can have any sense of joy in this veil of tears. How we can have any modicum of peace in this veil of tears. That's why it passes all understanding. It just doesn't make sense. We ought to be crying every day. There's just sadness all around. Brokenness. Why are we so crazy? Because of sin. Adam and Eve ate of the fruit. Sin entered the world, Romans 5:12. Sin came into the world through one man. And what came after sin? What followed sin into the world? Death. Death is spread to all men. Why? Everybody have sinned. And just the logic is so beautiful. I mean, the Holy Spirit is so crystal clear. Sin came, death came. Death's got to hit everybody because everybody's a sinner. Where are we in that? But in something, you take a plain scripture like Romans 5:12, and you'll find a way to bring up some sort of praise for humanity. It's amazing. The reason we die is because we're sinners. We're just saved by grace. And I know there's some in the certain religions and of this certain theology beliefs that You know, they don't like saying that we're saved sinners. Well, we were sinners, but we're saved by grace. Yeah, but Paul this said, I am chief. Did he lose his salvation? No. It's the greatest apostle of all time saying, I am, present tense, not even I was, of whom I am chief of sinners. I'm the main sinner. It's almost sacrilegious for us to even think of ourselves like that, but we need to. It keeps us humble. Sin came, and the result of sin, we found that, you don't have to turn there, but we found over in Romans 3, none are righteous, no, not one, no one understands, no one seeks for God, all have turned aside. Together, everyone has become worthless, unserviceable, and useless. No one does good, not even one. The throat is in standing open grave. They use your tongues to deceive. The venom of asp is under their tongues. Their mouth full of curses and bitterness. Feet are swift to murder. Yes, yes, yes. In their path of ruin and misery, the way of peace they have not known. Mm-hmm. I was watching a documentary, which I know better. I haven't watched anything on Marilyn Monroe or Tupac or Michael Jackson or Whitney Houston. Those, if you want just instant depression, at least for me, just watch some of those. Just instant. It's like taking not an antidepressant, but a depressant. Just instant sadness. And of course, just barely made it halfway through, and I'm still shook from it. Multiple foster homes, double digit foster homes she was in, Marilyn Monroe. Sad, molested. You think fame, being the most famous woman in the world. And even now, she is still one of the most famous women in the world, but it doth not avail her nothing. The way of peace, she never knew. And if you think in your life, before Christ, the way of peace you didn't know either. I know I didn't. I didn't know what peace was. You know what a sinner thinks of peace is? Everything being calm, nothing going on. Like peaceful waters. You know, there's no chop in it. It's looking like glass. It's really smooth. That's not the peace of God. That peace only lasts, those waters are only smooth because no wind will ever blow. Once the wind blows, peace is gone. God's peace, S-T-E, it steals us. Yes, thank you, Lord. It anchors us in the middle of the storm. Hallelujah. Oh, you better watch yourself.
Thank you, Lord.
We don't know that peace. We didn't know. You can't know it as a sinner. You can't know it. We know nothing of that. We know nothing of joy. All we knew was happiness. We knew nothing of joy. Nothing of peace. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear or reverence be of God. Fear, shaking in the boots, fear, yes. And also reverence and awe and respect of God before their eyes. Then skip down to verse 23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. There is no distinction. All ethnicities, all cultures, all genders have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All right, all that's review for like the third week. Sin hit when it fell, when man sinned. When man sinned. What did it affect? What part of his being did it affect? His mind, the heart. The heart slash mind. Let's take our time and go back over that and kind of add some new things here. Sin affected the heart. It affected the mind, which in the to the Hebrew, to the Jew, was the same thing. So I use all of these words. It affected the will. If you we wrote this down before, but the will, the emotion, the intentions, the heart, the understanding, the thought processes, and anything else you want to put in there. The reasoning. It affected rationale. It affected the heart / mind, which includes the will, the emotion, the intention, the heart, the understanding, the thought processes, the ability to reason. It affected logic. It affected all of that. It perverted it. I like the word, it short-circuited it. It blew it out. It didn't become inoperable. It just didn't operate properly anymore. The brain, the mind, the heart still works. Look around you. It's just not working right. They got ideas. I'm right there with DEI. They got ideas. Want to do things God's way. They want to try to have what's going to be in heaven. Heaven is going to be diverse. We're going to all get together. We all going to sing songs. Everybody want that now. It's going to be God's way now. There will be of every tongue, every tribe, every people, and every nation. Every time I say that, I feel like just running up there, just taking a glance, then run back down. What a sight, fella, that got to be. We got Asian brothers and sisters. We got African brothers and sisters. We got European brothers and sisters. We got brothers and sisters from Antarctica, from Iceland, from the remote jungles of the Cameroon. We got them from everywhere.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. For there is no distinction. Oh, praise, bless the name of the Lord Most High.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Meantime, back in the earth, we got this. We got broken hearts and minds. They don't operate properly. They're perverted. Look at Genesis 6, verse 5. Genesis 6, verse 5. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis chapter 6, look at verse 5. You read it, I know, but read it again. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great. You could say the sin of man. Because in this three verses earlier, sin entered the world. And here's three chapters later. Look at the result of it. It was great in the earth. And every intention. It can say, and the intention of the thought. No, every intention. This is the Holy Spirit's commentary through his slave Moses on the state and being of mankind. Every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That is scary when you think that multiple billions of people have this. This is their state. This is their ontological state of being. It's a wonder that we can even stop at a red light and have a modicum of peace for those few seconds there. I still marvel. Sometimes even in winter, I just let my window down. Even in winter, I just let it down. Everybody just sitting there calm. I said, that's a miracle. With this going on, every intention of the thoughts of his heart, only evil?
Right.
Yeah, they could just reach over and shoot you right there. I told you about the person, Manson, and we're on the way to Charles Manson. Tex Watson, and I've got the girls' names, Kasabian and some of the others, Leslie Van Houten. They were on their way to kill and butcher Sharon Tate and that whole group. There was five of them in that house that night. And on the way there, in the car, they pull up to just some guy, you know, at the red light. It's at night. And Manson says, as the car is sitting already at the red light, and they are cruising up to stop. And he said, when we get to the red light, I want you to kill the guy in the in the car next to us. But just as they pulled up, the car, the light turned green. And so my man pulled off. He never, I think about today. I said, Lord, that's great. You let me, I don't know how I found that story. But that's, I remember that forever, because we just don't know about what danger seen and unseen. Say it again, unseen, that he's delivered us from. How many times were you set up to be killed by Satan because you're a child of God and he hates you? And God stepped in and turned the light green. And we pull off. And we don't even have any idea that we came that close to death. Danger seen and unseen. We ought to be on our knees. I literally got on my knees this morning in the bathroom and bowed my face to the ground to thank God for saving me. I just love how he just peels back the depth of gratitude that we can get to for what he's done for us. That's why it's just such a crime. It's a crime. It's a spiritual crime to not give God all the glory for salvation. The greatest miracle that mankind has ever known, that has ever happened, the greatest thing God has ever done to mankind and for mankind is to save them. That's the greatest miracle. That's the greatest miracle. Your spirit and my spirit, our spirits, when we were born, were still born, spiritually speaking. We are still born, spiritually speaking, although we're born alive physically. But our spirits are dead. We are hellbound as soon as we take our first breath. We're on our way to hell. And he intervened and gave life to our spirits. And brought us out of having every intention of the thoughts of our heart only evil. Continue. He brought us out of that. Can you see why we need a Savior? Well, unfortunately, let's look at this every intention being evil. And let's look at the mind, the will, the emotion, the intention, the heart, the understanding, the thought processes being perverted by sin. Let's look at it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. You know the story, but read it again. Hear it afresh and anew from this angle. Genesis 4. Look at verse 3. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Verse 4, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, God the Lord had no regard, no respect. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. I don't know if you have your definition or your synonym for the mind and the heart, but notice one of the things that was perverted and distorted was emotion. Here he's mad, far hopping mad at God. That's a perversion. Sometimes we read too fast. Just land there. He mad at God and he's super mad. And Cain was very angry and his face fell. Why? Sin has affected his emotion. Sin has jacked up the thought processes. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? The Lord acknowledges the emotion. Why has your face fallen? That's a result of the emotion, his face having fallen. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. What does the Lord God do in all of his graciousness? This verse here gives Cain time to think about what to do next. But what's been perverted? The thought processes. So he says, I know, I'm going to kill my brother. Okay, wait a minute. That wasn't one of the choices. We said, do what I told you to do. So obviously the Lord had told him what to do. But yet he thinks, hey, I'll kill my brother because I'm jealous. Well, where does that come in? Because the will, the emotion, the intentions, the thought process, the understanding, the rationale, the logic, the mind has been perverted. He doesn't listen to God at all. He says, Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. This is premeditated. This is first degree murder. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. We're thinking, oh, that was premeditated. Let me get him out in the field. I know where he's going to be. So there was planning. There was intent. Can you see what's broken? The intentions. This verse demonstrates the perverseness, if you will, of the emotions being perverted, his will to commit murder, he willed to do that, being perverted. He intended to do it. That was perverted. It was in his heart to do it. The understanding that he came to within himself was, I'm going to kill my brother because I'm mad at him. And then he thought it through and says, yes, sounds like a good idea because this is what I want. Doesn't that sound a lot like 2 Timothy 3? For men will be lovers of themselves, do what they want, fierce, brutal. That didn't just happen. By the way, that verse is not just happening then, like later on. No, it happened when sin hit. Men were fierce and brutal and ruthless without natural affection for family. He killed his brother. Not even a stranger, but a brother. What was at the root of that murder? What emotion, hint, hint, was at the root of that murder?
Jealousy
and anger. Jealousy leading to anger. That's why Jesus spoke against anger. He said, y'all say don't murder. But I'm saying that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Because I know that murder is preceded by anger. And anger is a perverted emotion because of sin. In that particular case, that's why people are so crazy. Look at Jeremiah 17 and 9. Glory be to God. Jeremiah 17 and 9. The heart is deceitful above all things. Why? Why is that? Because of sin. When sin entered, the heart was broken, and it is now deceitful above all things. Meaning it is deceitful, cunning, and treacherous. Deceitful, cunning, and treacherous. Treacherous means that it is dangerous, unstable, perilous. It's deceitful. It is cunning. And it's dangerous, treacherous, and unstable. Wow. That's, and it says above all things, worse than anything else. And that's enough. Then it has, and desperately sick. Dangerously sick. Incurable, corrupt, and depraved. Wow, you got the heart is deceitful, cunning, and treacherous, and it is dangerously, incurably, corruptibly, depravedly sick. Who can understand it? Yeah, you got that right. There is no way, when you hear that a sinner is going to ever be able to discern their own heart. It's way too slick. Way too tricky, way too treacherous. Who can know it? Who can understand it? The one commentator added, who can know it? That is to say, fathom its nature and corruptness and the depth of its corruptness. Therefore, a man must not trust the suggestions and illusions of his own heart. You better not. And I've warned you on that for years. Do not. When you say, I know it deep down in my heart, that ought to be a red flag that ought to go off immediately. Because you might be in a whole lot of trouble. Never trust your heart. I don't care how good it sounds, how rational it sounds, how pleasing it sounds, how beneficial it sounds. You better not trust that heart. Look at Matthew 15. Speaking of the heart being perverted, the mind, the will, the emotions, the intentions, the reasoning, the rationale, all being broken. Matthew 15:18. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. Where does it proceed from? What proceeds from the heart? What comes out the mouth? No, let's slow it down a little bit. So that means everything I say first comes from my heart, which is deceitful above all and brokenness. Oh, I need to really be careful what I'm saying. I need to really, really examine what's deep in my heart. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person, makes them unclean. For out of the heart, because of sin, comes evil thoughts. What? Evil thoughts. That's the first thing. Notice the order. Because you got to first think murder before you commit murder. You must first think adultery. You must first think immorality, theft, false witness, slander. All of those things must first come to the mind before you act on them. So for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, which leads to murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. When sin entered in, it perverted the heart, caused it not to work properly. This was the result. I know I'm beating a dead horse, but don't care. Ephesians chapter 4. Because I want us as Christians to realize, you know what? I want you to be spiritually paranoid. That's what I want you to be. You trust no one but God. Spiritually paranoid. Ephesians 4:17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their mind. Sin made the mind futile. Means devoid of truth and appropriateness. Isn't that something? How many inappropriate things are we seeing nowadays? My Lord and my God. Devoid of truth and appropriateness, perverseness, depravity, depraved. Futility also means nothingness and emptiness. Empty, nothing, perverse, depraved, devoid of truth, inappropriate. That's what sin did. Who are the Gentiles? Who are the Gentiles? Generally speaking, non-Jews, but what do they represent spiritually speaking? Unbelief, what'd you say? Yeah, unbelievers, sinners. Those who are without God. The Gentiles represent sinners, all sinners. So he's saying here, this I say, that you must no longer walk as a sinner does. In the futility, emptiness, devoid of truth of their minds. They, the sinner, the Gentile, are darkened in their understanding. Look at what the Lord is talking about. What was broken when sin hit? The heart, the mind. Look, they were darkened in their understanding. Again, in the verse 17, in the futility of their minds, they're darkening their understanding. Darken means to lack insight or knowledge, to be blind. That is us. Where do they lack insight and blindness? In their understanding. Comma, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of what? Heart. How many times are we going to close this case? Sin hit the heart. Made it hard, causing not to work right. It darkened it. Because of the ignorance. Ignorance means to lack knowledge, to lack understanding, especially of divine things or things of God. That's why when you're talking to somebody who your cousin, nephew, uncle, auntie, you try to talk about things of God, they don't get it. They just don't get it. And there's a fine line between evangelism and casting a pearl before swine. Giving that was holy to the dogs. Jesus called that, don't get on me. He was very, very succinct and distinct about calling them pigs and dogs. And that's how much he values the word of God over your cousin, over your nephew, over your friend. He said, do not give that which is holy, which is the word of God, to the dogs, or do not cast pearls, which is the word of God of great value, before pigs. See, they'll just stomp on it and come in. I can come after you. That's what he says. So you be very discerning as to who you are to talk about the things of God with. Now, one thing you can do constantly, consistently, and continually every day before a watching world is what? Walk it. That's right, Miss Phyllis. That you can do. You don't need no permission for that. You don't need the Holy Ghost extra. You can just walk it out. That's every man. And if God, G-A-W-D, sends them over because of your lifestyle, then you speak. We taught them this back in 07. I remember telling the word of life, just shut up. Be quiet. And live. Then speak as the Lord leads. Because we come out of churches, evangelize, go. Therefore, go where? When do I go? We talked that over here, I don't know, maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, about something about the, I don't know, other, the commission, a closer look at the
Great Commission.
Yeah, yeah. We talk like something like a closer look at the Great, what does it mean? Yes, we ought to go, but does it mean just go? Go where? You still ought to be led. You don't be led by the Spirit of God out. You still combine the verses. He's telling you to go, but he'll tell you when to go and where to go and to who you're to go. Everybody's not supposed to go to Africa. Some of you need to go over on Irene. Or over on, and not that I know anybody on Irene. I'm just mentioning the street. Well, no, Irene. I live on Irene. What you trying to say? No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying we need to go local. Rather want to go so far. Some people rather go to Africa than go talk to their own brother about the things of God. Because family can be difficult. Yes, that might be your assignment. That might be your assignment. Gotta be ready. So there's no understanding due to the hardness of their heart. Verse 19, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality. Greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Heart gets hard. They become callous, which means they lose the capacity to feel shame or embarrassment. Is that not what we're seeing?
Oh, yes.
I guess they had a pride day at our school on Friday. My spirit was disturbed, though. Just all jacked up. Just disturbed. It just looked like a clown show at times. The rainbows, and I thought about the perverting of God's covenant. God said, I'm going to put the rainbow as a covenant that I will never destroy man by water ever again. And the devil has taken a symbol from God and
converted it with some of the most vile perversion you can even think about. And he took it to represent sexual perversion. Even if it was something not maybe not so vile, but it's sexual perversion. And that's all I'll go there. I want your mind to go there.
My Lord and my God. I'm supposed to be disturbed. I said, wow, this must be what April deals with every day, in the den of iniquity. I'm in the den of iniquity. Just disturbed. He says, will you take this? No, no, thank you. Oh, you can support us? No, ma'am. Still walk in love. So I'm saying, girl, get that thing away from me. Get out of here. You foul child of the devil. Come out. That's what I want to say. But we ought to walk in love because you don't know if the Lord's going to use just a kind turning down and use that. Who knows, some years later, some years, you know, when I was in that lifestyle, I remember you was kind and so on. And I, you know, I'm saved now. I'm like, glory be to God. So just calmness. No, no, thank you. No, thank you. April has us on the list. Pray for our school. Our children are in trouble. They are in trouble. The quote-unquote transgender students are the most depressive looking people like on the face of the earth. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. The rest of verse 19, and have given themselves up to sensuality, which means to surrender, to yield up, to just give, just completely surrender to it. And greedy is a strong desire to acquire, to do more, to acquire more, to practice every kind of impurity. That's what sin has done to the mind of mankind. Philippians 3, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it quickly, 18 and 19. For many walk, of whom I've often told you and now tell you, and even weeping, that they're enemies of the cross of Christ. These are people who look like a Christian, but they really weren't. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is their shame. Who glory and boast in the things they ought to be the most ashamed of. Who set their minds, what? Their minds on earthly things. Thinking of glory and their shame, remember we said what's been broken is their thought processes. Yes, broken. You're glorying and praising and showing off that which you ought to be the most ashamed of. Why? Your intentions are broken. Your thought processes are broken. Your mind is broken, your reasoning is broken, and this is the result. That's why people are so crazy. It's no surprise to us. Thank God for his word, though. Romans 1:18. You read through verse 20 and we're going to stop for today. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Is it any wonder that the wrath of God is going to be revealed from heaven? If you just hear the state of mankind, if we just walk through all of this, it's no wonder that the wrath of God is going to be revealed. Thank you, Jesus, that it is. Why hasn't God just blew it out now? Well, why wait? Say what? Yes, what'd you say? Yes, there are some who haven't even been born who are going to be saved. The question was, why hasn't God just let his wrath loose and take care of all of it and blow it all up and end it? because there are people who have not even been born yet who are going to be saved. That's exciting to know that. Because before the foundation of the world, God had a set number. And that's another thing. You can't help God. You're not going to bring more to the kingdom than what God has set. You got to realize that everyone who God sets to be saved, Jesus said, all that the Father has given me will come to me. And not a one of them will be lost. And once they are in my hands, nobody can pluck or snatch them from my hand. Thank you, Lord. The reason that God is letting all this nonsense continue, one of them is, and because there are those who are yet to be born who are going to be saved. Yeah, I'm still thinking we got, I'm thinking we still got many, many, many more years. 100 at least. I'm thinking this right here is, remember Jesus said, when you see these things, these are the beginning of sorrows in Matthew 24. These are the beginning of sorrows. Meaning, this is the light action here. It's just getting started. Is that not scary? That's scary. Am I right, Miss Mealy? I'm like, you think you're doing one of them Elijah moves? And who was the other one that got transformed? Enoch. Chris said he saw it one year. I'm serious. Chris told me about 20 years ago, man, I seen it. He put a T on it. I seen it. He said, man, you was raptured up out of here. Boy, I'd be so happy. Y'all be sad, though, but I know. But man, oh, man. Come, Lord Jesus. See, when you understand the state of man, it's not going to get any better. You want the Lord Jesus. You're going to sing, you're going to say with the Apostle John, the Revelator, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. It ought to be the desire of every Christian to want to go to heaven. Unfortunately, Christians ain't talking about heaven. We're so busy trying to live your best life now. We're so hung up on the things of this earth, and we just, Miss Sarah, that's right. Just shake your head because it's so disheartening. And God, I thank God that God is God and not man, because here God has set this great payoff for us to put our hope in, and we don't want it. Really, genuine people of God ain't thinking about heaven. We so busy trying to get a nice apartment, a nice condo, a house down here. Man, that's ghetto stuff. That's garbage. Trinkets. Compared to an eternity? And you ain't even thinking about that? You trying to get your rent paid? Really? Wow, I fought the pulpit. We're so big on status. We're so big on trying to mesh with the culture. Again, it's the grace of God that is the revelation of God's wrath is being held up, because he could just go through and burn up a whole lot of pulpits right now. But there are some of those who are going to get out that pulpit and repent of their sin and get saved for real. And that's going to be a glorious day too. Yeah, I'm not the only one that walked out of the pulpit. You know, I know of no one else has left the pulpit. But so I got to say that by faith. I'm assuming that some other left the pulpit and got it right. I'm just assuming there are. Because I was in the pulpit for 8 years out of God's will. Doing funerals, doing marriages, all of that, out of God's will. The Lord got a word to me. You have no business in the pulpit. Not at this time. Get out of that pulpit. And then the next command was, take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn of me. That's right, Chris. Stop after learn. Learn. That's right. I needed to learn. Learn of me. Then I'm going to blanchetterize you. That's a new word. That's a new word, fella. Blanchetterize. I got to blanchetterize you, brother. Then you'll be ready for my pulpit. I got a plan to terrorize you, brother. Through the fire. Oh, watch yourself. I'm finna start shouting, Sister Melanda, for real. Oh, when you get blanchetterized. Hey, hey. Woo-wee. Then you're ready for my pulpit. My timing. Yes. Because he got a time that only him. And they, what, I tell you what, and there ain't no multiple times. You know, like you go in the, and want to go in, like when the COVID was, in order to go to Secretary of State, you could pick your times. No, God got one time. You weren't supposed to be in that pulpit until August 6, 2000. And you was in the pulpit in 1980. 20 years early. I thank God for that testimony. I was wrong as two left shoes in a right-footed world. That's a new one there. Woo, but he know how to get you right. Thank God that he didn't let the wrath reveal on me. He did it a touch, but to correct me. But here, he gonna let it flow. We're gonna stop here. We'll go back over this on Sunday. Lord God Almighty. I'm not on bended knee, but I'm bending knee and head bowed in my heart for your grace and your mercy, your grace and your mercy, your grace and your mercy. Really no goodness of our own, comma, but by the grace of God. Father God, that we've been kept all of this time, and we still have a mind, the mind of Christ, to go on. And for that we are what? Forever grateful. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Eternally grateful. Amen. Do you have that one by the Winans? Goodness, mercy, and grace. Let's prepare for offering, please. Remember, this is a time of worship. We're still worshiping, not just casual conversation. This is a time of worship. Help us, Father, to stay in that mode of worship.